So we're continuing our study of Sefer Shoftim, and we're in the middle of Perek Tes, chapter 9, which is not a pleasant Perek, and it's the rule of Avimelech, the son of Gidon, the son of Yerubal. Again, the name keeps being interchanged. Gidon, who was the righteous Shofet, Gidon, who led us to a peace from the people of Midian. And unfortunately, this one son who we saw is definitely a little different than his other sons. Gidon had this tremendous family of 70 sons coming from multiple wives, and one particular son who came from a concubine, from a Pilegesh. We'll actually see the description of his mother be slightly different in this parak. And he rises to power, basically convinces the people of Shechem and Beis Milo that the other sons of Gidon are going to take power. I'm one of yours. They support him, and he assassinates his 69 brothers. And there's one survivor named Yosam ben Yerubal, Yosam the son of Gidon. He's described by the pasuk as being the katon, the youngest one, and he had been hiding. And where we left off is we left off in the middle of a speech that Yosam was giving, the survivor was giving, and giving words of rebuke towards not only the people of Shechem, but also towards his half-brother, towards the ruler, Avimelech. And what was unclear from the psukim as we were seeing them unfold, the speech began in Pasuk Zayin. You know, we just go back to Pasuk Zayin just for a moment. It says, Vayagidu liYosam. They basically told Yosam about that Avimelech is now acting as king over the land. And he starts a speech. He's standing on the top of Har Gerizim, Vayikrit, he calls out, Vayomer, and he says, Shimu Elai Baalei Shechem, listen to me. Now, were they actually able to physically listen to him from where he was? Or is it just that he is speaking towards them, hoping that the word is going to get to them, some type of messenger, some type of, that the communication will go? And we saw that the first part of his speech was a parable, was a mashal, about how there were various options for who you would choose to be the role of king, and yet they seem to have chosen historically within the last, you know, whatever it is, 100 years of Jewish history, they chose like the worst option to be king and to start having some form of king, which again is foreign. We haven't had a king-like figure, maybe you say since Moshe Rabbeinu was a king-like figure. We haven't had something like that. And we know that the monarchy of Shaul and then David is not coming for another, you know, probably approximately 160 years from this period of time, probably even more. That's just to get you to the time of Eli and to Shmuel. So probably 200 years approximately before having an actual king. And this was the first attempt. So there's this mashal to show them rebuke. And then the shift in the speech, which is where we left off, and we'll be continuing in Pasuk Yud Ches, was he was bringing it back home in terms of, did you treat my father, who was your leader, did you treat him accordingly? Did you treat him the way he should have been treated? With the obvious message being, and he's kind of rubbing it in a sarcastic way, is not only did you not positively repay my father, but you treated his family and you treated his legacy so negatively. And that's right. He did so much for you, and this is what you did to them. Pasuk Yud Ches is him turning it back. Ba'atem, and you, kamtem al beis avi hayom. You arose against my father's house today, but tahargu es banav, and you killed his sons, shivim ish al evan achas, the 70 men upon one stone, which we pointed out last time, even though he's the only survivor, it's still that unit. When you're missing one number, it could still be a unit. And so he himself is referring to the unit as a unit of 70. And he's also putting the blame on them, because they were not the ones who physically killed the sons of Gidon, but they had empowered, hired, provided the funds and the confidence to Avimelech, and therefore they're held responsible. But tahargu es banav shivim ish al evan achas, vatamlichu es Avimelech ben Amaso, and you crowned Avimelech ben Amaso. It's put into the perspective of Gidon. So Avimelech ben Amaso, Avimelech, the son of his Amma. An amma is a female slave. It's a derogatory term in the sense that it's not It's not even Pilegesh. Pilegesh, the word concubine, is a term that the Tanakh uses, and it's not necessarily used in a derogatory term. The role of a Pilegesh was less prominent than the role of a wife, though, in the language of the Mishnah, which we cited, that a wife receives Kiddushin, which is an aspect of positive sanctification, and also receives a Ksuba, which in those days represented financial security and financial backing to the woman standing in a marriage. And a Pilegesh lacked those things. But it's not something inherently insulting about the term Pilegesh. But in this context, Vatamlichu es Avimelech ben Amoso, that you crowned Avimelech, the son of his maidservant, al Bale Shechem, upon the playmakers and the owners of Shechem, ki achichem hu, for he is your brother. So there, this Yosam in his speech and in his giving of rebuke, he's almost sarcastically saying, and if you tried to take one of his children and make them king, so look who you made king. You made the one that I'll describe as Ben Amoso. It's to some extent, and this obviously fueled Avimelech, his drive to power. Avimelech was viewed in that society as a little bit of a less than son because he comes from the Pilegesh. And here, Yosam, in his description, is making it sound even more less than, almost insulting, that the one that here you have 71 sons to choose from, and you choose the son, again, in his description of the Amma, which is more of an insult to Gidon. If you're going to select one of Gidon's sons to take over or to be king, it should have been a more prominent son. And then he throws in the reason, well, why you chose him. The Baalei Shechem, you chose him, because the pasuk concludes, ki achichem, for he was your brother. And this concept within Tanakh, that the person who hires out the ones to kill is held responsible, to a certain extent, we see it in Sefer Shmuel, that to a certain extent, Shaul is held responsible. The fact that he charged Doeg, who was his servant, to knock out and to kill the city of Nov, Irak Ohanim, and that comes back. It's on Shaul's cheshbon, his accounting as well. And so, the fact that they empowered Avimelech, they're really held accountable. And so, this is him saying, you not only did you not treat my father properly, this is how you repaid him. Pasuk Yutes. I believe it's the second time that he's using this way of saying the im be'emes uvesamim asisem, or maybe it's something that he'll repeat in the emes uvesamim asisem. And if, and this is with sarcasm, if in truth besamim is the language of tamim, to be complete, asitem, you have done, im yurubal ve'im be'so hayom hazeh, if you have done right. Actually, no, they were echoing the phrase from Pasuk Tazayin. Same exact phrase. In be'emes uvesamim, with truth and with sincerity, which is actually a language that's borrowed by Chazal in Tefillah. Uve'emes uvesamim nish'anenu. We say to Hashem that you, nish'anenu, you save us. The salvation that Hashem provides for us, be'emes uvesamim. So this is a negative place, but it might be the source for the language of being real and being honest, which obviously, if you use it in the right way, is great. Yosam here is using extreme sarcasm by saying, "V'im be'emes v'besam asisam im yurubal v'im beso hayom hazeh, on this day." So if you did what's right, so simchu ba'avimelech v'yismach gamhu b'chem. Simchu ba'avimelech. He's first addressing the people of Shechem, saying, "You should rejoice in Avimelech, your choice of king." Yismach gamhu b'chem, and he should be happy with you, meaning it should be a great relationship. Pasachaf v'im ayin, but if not, which is clearly his message, v'im ayin, but if not, teitzei eish me Avimelech, a fire should go forth from Avimelech, v'sochal es bale Shechem, and it should consume the inhabitants of Shechem, v'es beis milo, and the inhabitants of beis milo. And similarly, a fire should go forth from the inhabitants of Shechem and from Beis Milo, and it should consume Avimelech. And so while the main theme of the speech is at the Baalei Shechem, it doesn't it doesn't mean that it's not also directed at Avimelech. And that the concluding thought of Yosam, which is he firmly believes that what they did was wrong, what they did is improper, and he basically is cursing them. That if it's not good what you did, then you should get paid back. That you should get and now, while we pointed out very minimally, there was an aspect of him saying, "Biyishma aleichem Elokim," so that Hashem should listen to you. We pointed out last time that you would have maybe expected it to be a little bit more of a religious tone in terms of they did the wrong thing and therefore punishment should come their way via Hashem. You would have maybe have expected it, even if it didn't play a major role, at least in this last pasuk, when speaking of the fire of destruction coming, there's no mention of God whatsoever. And we have to recall the fact that we don't know anything about Yosam in terms of his religious beliefs, whether or not he was proper or not. We have a description that we started the perek with, that after Gideon died, there was a sense of going back to Avodah Zarah and going back to idol worship, which most likely included Gideon's sons, which is why, at least part of the reason why they were deserving to die from Hashem's perspective. So here there's no mention of Hashem and religion, because maybe Yosam doesn't mean that, but he's still cursing the people who are responsible for the death of his 69 brothers. And the description of fire, so I didn't see any of the Mefarshim say this exactly, but it could be it's an aspect of machlokas. Machlokas, argument, so there's a certain fire to argument. There's a certain passion when people argue, and that we're going to see that it's going to come through machlokas. It's going to come through argument that eventually there's a breakdown in the connection and the relationship between the people and their ruler. And the same exact thing that happens kind of puts forward. This fire comes forth from Avimelech first and consumes the people of Shechem. And then a fire comes forth, I don't know if you want to say from the Baalei Shechem, it's kind of from the remnants of it, and it consumes Avimelech. And so that no one is going to be unscathed from the retribution, both the people of Shechem as well as Avimelech are going to get their due. And we're not necessarily going to hear from Yosam again. He finishes his speech, and in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, Vayonas Yosam, he runs away. He escapes. Really, the language of Vayonas is a language of more escaping. Vayivrach, and he runs away. Vayelach Be'era, he runs to a place called Be'er. Vayeshev Sham Mipnei Avimelech Achiv, and he's there because of Avimelech. He's there because he's afraid of Avimelech. Avimelech killed everyone else. Presumably he's going to want to kill him. Not to mention this great speech that he just gave. I mean, even if he would be able to, you know, kind of, let's say, be under the radar and be not, you know, be quiet, and maybe he wouldn't recognize that one brother was able to escape. And if he finds out, okay, oh, there's one brother who escaped, well, you know, what's he going to do, kind of thing. But here, now he's broadcast his message. He, presumably, in the realm of Avimelech, which we're about to discuss in the next pasuk, exactly how far-reaching was the rule of Avimelech in the land of Israel. But in the realm of Avimelech, you'd have to imagine that Yosam is public enemy number one from Avimelech's perspective, and so he needs to run away, and he runs away. So he's
asking them to take any action. Is he saying that fire will go back and forth? When he makes a speech, is he saying for them to do something, or just?
He's saying that the fire of destruction is going to come your way, and it's going to burn both of you. What's interesting is that there's no response. There's no response back. Now, again, if we put it into the kind of that bigger picture perspective, we aren't 100% sure who he's talking to. If he's not talking to anyone, so it makes good sense why no one is responding back. Someone must have heard what he said. Presumably, if no one heard what he said, then you're kind of stuck with he was venting, which we could all understand. I mean, the man just went through a tragedy of the greatest proportions, and the certain sense of You know, that there is this idea in the world known as survivor's guilt. You have to imagine you're the one brother, 69 have been murdered, you know, in front of you. So we definitely could, you know, playing 2022 psychologist, you know, you could say that he's venting, and that just hundreds of years later, Shmuel HaNavi is able to write it down with Nevuah. But presumably these words are heard, whether or not it was directly heard or just a message that was communicated. But the people of Shechem presumably get this message. What's interesting is that there's no sense of a return message back to Yosam. Now, you could just explain it practically. He gave his speech, a very impassioned speech, and then he ran away. We know where he ran to, but you'd have to hope that his goal was to run away, that no one else would know where he ran to, and so there wouldn't be an ability to respond. How much did the people of Shechem and Avimelech have this in the back of their minds? As we're about to see in the next pasuk, that there's a three-year period of time, presumably where everything is fine and dandy in terms of the relationship between the Baalei Shechem and their leader Avimelech, and then things start going bad 3 years later. But is it that they had it in their minds that, you know, that we know that this, at least Yosam has said that this relationship between us and our king is going to be cursed. At the same time, you probably have to say, what worth does this speech have to the people of Shechem? Of course he wants to curse their new king. Of course he wants to curse them. They're now in positions of authority, kind of, in the sense that it's their Avimelech is their king, he's their relative, and they have the king's ear, they have an in with the king. So of course if you told me that it was a Navi, an Ish Elokim, coming and giving the speech, so then you have to say, you know, imagine that even if they're over the Avodah Zarah, it's going to make an impact on them a little bit, you know. And in Sefer Malachim, when we see how Achav, who was this most evil king, when he interacts with Eliyahu, he has these moments of, like, he recognizes at least he's talking to a Navi, and that there's almost a level of respect. So had this speech come from an Ish Elokim, so maybe you would say they had it in the back of their minds, always thinking that punishment is coming their way, feeling a little guilt for what they did to the children of Gidon, but that it comes from Yosam? It could be there's no response because they didn't even take it to heart. It didn't make an impact. We're going to see that everything that he said is going to come true. It's going to come true because Mida Keneged Mida, they acted inappropriately towards the children of Gidon, and so they need to be held responsible for their actions, both Avimelech as the ruler and they as the ones who launched his rule. But we don't hear a response back at all. We continue with Pasuk Chaf Beis. Vayasar Avimelech al Yisrael shaloshanim. Avimelech's reign, his rule, lasts for 3 years. Al Yisrael, which is very open-ended. Al Yisrael. We write the Gidon, we said, pointed out, Gidon was from the tribe of Menashe. And so it would make good sense that, you know, perhaps since all of Gidon's sons are killed, that taking over Menashe is relatively simple. The tribe goes from your father. So what I'm saying, but the fact that he was able, Avimelech was able to assassinate everyone from Gidon, so presumably they were the prominent members of the tribe of Menashe. So to be over the tribe of Menashe makes good sense. The people of Shechem, so Shechem is right near Har Ephraim. Shechem is in the portion of Yosef and Ephraim, and so presumably he's ruling over the tribe of Ephraim.
And he chose that because that's who his mother was from.
Correct. Correct. No, so it makes good sense why. But the question is, what I'm trying to determine is, when it says that he rules over Al Yisrael, should we read that as actually all of Israel? Which I think you can make the argument that yes, and that his power kind of went. We don't have, for whatever reason, Shmuel HaNavi did not think it important to kind of elaborate on that story in terms of how did that happen. How did the guy who just took over Shechem, and yes, he knocked off one prominent family in Menashe, but how did that translate into, let's say, taking over the whole tribe of Yehuda? How did that translate into taking over all of the Yardin, all of Reuven and Chat and Gad? How did that translate into taking over Yisrael? So either we understand that it did, or it was some sizable portion, a significant portion. The Mefarshim are all not necessarily bothered, but all take note of the language of Vayasar. Vayasar, so it's a language of Srara. Srara is that's the Mitzvah Tzion defines the word Srara. Srara is power or authority. It is different than a king. Usually we don't use that term for a king. When a king rules with the term of Malchus, with maybe the term of judging the people, of Shofet, by Yishpot Ha'am. Those are terms that are more kingly. Avimelech was a pseudo-king. He wasn't fully recognized as a king. He wasn't recognized from Hashem as a king. And it could very well be that that language of Vayasar, it hints to what type of rule he had. Rashi throws in the phrase Vayasar al karcham. It was a little bit against their will. Nahag Rabbanus Begava, that he kind of had, he guided his leadership in a forceful way and in a haughty way. And so his rule was not appreciated by the people. And once your rule is not appreciated by the people, so over time, 3-year period of time, so that's going to bring discord into your rule. And you also, you have to put it in that perspective. And again, I don't know if Avimelech was able to do that. It's obviously much easier for us to really think about things from a certain, like, bigger picture perspective. He's the first king in the history of having kings. And I don't know if he ever sat down and kind of with advisors or whatever extent said, you know, how do we make this successful so that the people keep this model of leadership? As opposed to the language, at least that the Mefarshim are saying, is that he kind of took the view as, I have the power and I'm going to rule based on my power. But history shows that sometimes it's not 3 years, sometimes it's much longer. But ruling families or ruling monarchs that rule in that way, that it doesn't bring harmony to the relationship between the people and the ruler. And if anything, it can lead to the ruler being overthrown. Put that into perspective that it was, you know, from a Hashem perspective, so inappropriate the way that Avimelech became king. That punishment was coming his way, whether he realized it or not. He did.
He
did. But then he appoints himself, and then they recognize him. They coronate him as king. He's not a king in the sense of.
It's not to rule effectively.
Right. This is some type of. It sounds like it's a dictatorship, and that language of Vayasar kind of gives that over. The Radak even uses the phrase ki lo halach b'derech tova v'lo hechzer es Yisrael lemutav. He did not go on a good path, and he didn't return Israel to be better. And I don't know for sure if the Radak is just referring to a religious path. He may even just be referring to the word tov in a sense of what's good for the country, meaning that you have a leader who does things that are good for himself, but it's not good for the country, it's not good for the people. The effective leader and a proper leader has in mind, how do I make the country better for the people? Even in a king model, I mean, it's not, you know, we'd like to think that democracy is amazing, but we all know that there are positives to all different types of leadership. The Torah clearly feels that it is possible to have effective leadership in the role of king, but it's a king that's, well, we mentioned it last week, it's a king that rules with the Torah by his side and as his guide, and that it's, if followed that way, it could be effective, and it would be, you know, the opposite of what the Radak just said. It would be that the king is going b'derech tov, and also leading the people on a derech tov, which Avimelech is not doing. Pasach of Gimel, Vayishlach Elokim Ruach Ra bein Avimelech uvein Baal Eshrem. So while the speech of Yosam was not necessarily focused on this curse, the fire going back and forth coming from Hashem, we, the readers of the Tanakh, now hear it from the perspective of God, that Hashem sent a ruach ra, a evil spirit, bein Avimelech ubein Baal Shechem, between Avimelech and the inhabitants of Shechem. And that's the phrase ruach ra. So we've been familiar in Sefer Shoftim of a ruach being put on leaders, a ruach of Hashem, kind of endowing some of the shoftim with a sense of, not necessarily prophecy, but some type of ruach hakodesh, some type of divine spirit that empowered them to effectively lead the people. Almost saying that you know, some of the shoftim that we had perhaps were not purely worthy of becoming the leader without Hashem endowing them with this ruach Hashem, and now they have it. And we have it in Sefer Shmuel, when David and Shaul become king, respectively, there's this Ruach Hashem that fills them, and it gives them a sense of nevuah, a sense of prophecy, and it raises them. This is the opposite. This is a Ruach Ra. This is an evil spirit that Hashem is emplacing into Avimelech, Bing, between them. Because again, we're starting the discord, we're starting the machlokas between the ruler and the initial people. Because we're pointing out that Avimelech was kind of ruling over all of Yisrael, whatever that means. But definitely means beyond just the people of Shechem. But the only thing that Hashem really needs to do is he needs there to be discord between the Baalei Shechem and Avimelech. He needs that fire to come out of Avimelech and consume the Baalei Shechem. He needs the fire to come out from the Baalei Shechem and consume Avimelech. And then it's just back to normal, which is no ruler, no king. The Jewish people are still not in a good place spiritually. So that end kind of needs to be not tied up, but that needs to be dealt with. But there would at least would be erased this terrible part of Jewish history, namely the rule of Avimelech.
So we need a Navi.
That's definitely an option. What's fascinating is that you would have maybe expected if I would have told you write this chapter yourself, it's in the book of Shoftim, so we've reached a really low point. People are worshiping Avodah Zarah, and now there's this pseudo king, and he assassinated all the sons of Gidon, and so you would have maybe expected there to become a Navi, a proper shofate, lead the people to tshuva, and have them kind of take care of both the Baalei Shechem and Avimelech. For whatever reason, it's specifically as Yosam kind of predicted. It's almost like, we'll see it in great detail, they're going to take care of each other. And almost like the good guys, the good people, or the innocent people, if there were any, are left on the side. They're not involved. And it's almost as if Hashem is saying, you know, you wanted Avimelech as king. You wanted these people to be your loyal subjects. I'm going to show you what happens when this is the relationship between you. And it starts with Hashem implanting a ruach ra between them, and that leads to the second half of the pasuk. Vayivgedu Baalei Shechem b'Avimelech. There's a sense of bagad, right? We know that word bagad. Bagad means to betray, to rebel, right? We say in our vidui, ashamnu, we are guilty, bagadnu, we are rebellious, we're betraying. There's a certain sense of breaking the relationship. There have been those who explain, right, the shorish of the word, what's the shorish of the word bagadnu? It sounds very similar to the word beged, which means an item of clothing. Why? Because the very first time that human beings betrayed God, the sign of that betrayal is clothing. Because Adam and Chava were not wearing any clothing. They betray God, and because of that, there's a need for clothing. So almost obviously, once we're in that world, the proper thing is to wear clothing. But technically, clothing is always a sign of that first bagad, that first rebellion. So this ruach ra, right, the ruach ra that comes between, it creates a sense of rebellion, which, when you're looking at the very words of the pasuk, it almost sounds like it's unnatural. Meaning it's purely like an idea that Hashem puts in their mind, let's betray Avimelech. Meaning we are, through the Mefarshim, we're reading into the term Vayasar, and Rashi's saying that he forced it, and he's haughty. Obviously, we believe those words to be true. But it's interesting, from the perspective of the very just simple pshat of the pasuk, nothing wrong happened in the relationship. It's purely that God put this idea in their head, you should be betraying Avimelech. Pasuk of Dalet. Lavo Hamas Shevim Bnei Yerubal Vidamam. Lavo is an interesting word to use. Lavo, to come or to allow Hamas Shevim Bnei Yerubal, the violence that was done against the children of Yerubal, the 70 sons, Vidamam, and their blood. Lasum alavimelech achicha achihem asher haragosam, to place that wrath onto Avimelech, against Avimelech, their brother, asher haragosam, who killed them, the al bale shchem, and against the bale shchem, the inhabitants of Shchem, the movers and the shakers, the players, asher chizku es yadav, that strengthened his hand, laharog es achav, to kill his brothers. So the kind of the word, the continuation of why they're betraying, and almost the rationale from presumably from Hashem's perspective, is this mida keneged mida, that they went ahead, both Avimelech and the people of Shechem, the Baalei Shechem, had a huge hand in killing the sons of Yerubal, whether direct or indirect, and therefore they're going to get their due. Pasuk Chafhei, Vayesimu lo Baalei Shechem mi'arvim. So the Baalei Shechem set up for him, meaning for Avimelech, mi'orvim. Mi'orvim are kind of ambushers. Al roshei haharim, on the tops of the hills, of the mountains. They're basically trying to set traps to find Avimelech and to kill him. And while they're in the process, vayigzalu eis asher ya'avor aleihem badarach, they started robbing those who were passing by on the road. Vayugad Avimelech, and this was all told to Avimelech. Now, what do they have against the people who are on the road? Presumably, those people are innocent. They're right. The bandit. Why does the bandit cause trouble? Right? It almost goes back to, you know, I can't say I fully understand. Why do people use graffiti? Why do people deface property? I think a lot of the thinking behind it is that it shows that rule does not relate to them. They're above rule. They make the rules. This is a sign on the highway. No, this is going to be my place to make artwork. I decide the rules. The authority doesn't decide the rules. So the Mefarshim explained that when the Baalei Shechem start ambushing, not the person who they're after, but they start stealing from whoever on the road, it's basically like there's no law. There's no law because there's no leader. We don't believe in Avimelech as leader anymore, so his rules don't go. So whoever we want to rob, we can rob. And it's we're showing our betrayal of his leadership in this way. But you got Avimelech, and it's told to Avimelech. Avimelech becomes aware. And what's interesting is that in that moment of Avimelech finding out, we don't hear his initial reaction. It's almost like he's told what's going on, that there's this dissent, that there's a rebellious nature, that maybe they have traps out to get him, and they're robbing people on the street. But they tell Avimelech, it doesn't say anything in terms of his initial response. Pasuk Vav, Vayavo Gal ben Eved, the Echav, the Yavru B'Shem. We're introduced to a man named Gal, the son of Eved, which is a name, not the noun slave. The Echav and his brothers, the Yavru B'Shem, they passed through Shem. So Rashi cites the tradition that this Gal ben Eved is from a foreign nation. Me'uma Acheresaya. Where he comes from, in terms of which nation he actually comes from, how he's all of a sudden on the scene, what is his interest, it would appear from the Tanakh perspective that we're continuing on the theme of Vayishlach Elokim. That even though we're not seeing that phrase, but this is God's kind of plan, and he's involving this individual as a messenger, as a shliach, to bring about continuing the discord and kind of raising the level of the back and the forth that'll be between the Baalei Shechem and Avimelech. So this Gal ben Eved, who seems to be some type of warrior, as we'll see, v'yiftechu bo Baalei Shechem, And the Baalei Hashem, they have a certain sense of betach, of trust, of confidence in him. And therefore, because he's with them, Pasuk of Zayin, it seems, Vayetu Asada, they go out to the field, Vayivtziru es karmehem, they harvest their vineyards, Vayidrichu, and they trample the grapes to make the wine, Vayasu hilulim, and they make parties. Basically, the Mitzudos Tzion defines these terms. Some of them are classic. Batsar is the classic term for harvesting, right? It's a shasha. Kitsira is when you're harvesting grain. Bitsira is when you're harvesting grapes. It's the term for harvest. And the dricha is the stepping, the stepping and the pressing upon the grapes. And hilul is a language of celebration. Is even an Aramaic word. One of the Aramaic words for a wedding celebration is actually a type of hilula, a celebration. It gets used in other contexts, but it's borrowed from that type of celebration. So vayasu hilulim, vayavo beis Elohehem. They come to their temples. Vayochlu vayishdu. They eat and they drink. Vayikalu as Avimelech. And part of their celebration is to curse Avimelech. And some of the Mefarshim point out that there's not the Baalei Shechem, while they're rebelling against Avimelech, they do have a healthy sense of fear of Avimelech, and that they didn't want to necessarily go out to their vineyards just yet. But once they have this Gal ben Eved and his brothers, they kind of have a little bit more protection. They're feeling more confident that maybe they could actually go up against Avimelech. And that's why they begin their harvest, their grape harvest, and then celebrating with the culmination of that celebration, cursing and being curseful towards Avimelech. Pasuk Chavches. Vayomer Gal ben Eved. Gal ben Eved says, presumably at this celebration, or at one of them, Mi Avimelech? Who is Avimelech? Umishchem, and who is Shchem kina'avdenu, that we should serve him? Meaning, why does Shchem have to actually have their allegiance towards Avimelech? Halo ben Yerubal. Is he not a son of Yerubal? Uzvol pikido, and Zvol, and is Zvol not his officer, who we'll see, it seems to be that his general, Avimelech's general, was named Zvol. Ivdu es anshe chamor avishchem. It would be better if they should serve Anshe Chamor, the people of Chamor, Avi Shechem, the father of Shechem. Umadu anavdenu anachnu. Why do we serve him? Now, it seems a little bit odd that he echoes back to the origins of Shechem. We know about the origins of Shechem. Shechem was a city. The ruler of the city was a man by the name of Chamor. His son was Shechem, and presumably he calls the city after his son. And then Dina is taken by Shechem. And then the city of Shechem is destroyed. So why he's echoing back to that, it almost appears to be ridiculous to echo back to say, why don't we have that type of leader? But maybe that's the answer, meaning it was ridiculous that they have Avimelech as leader. And so in his expression of why do we have Avimelech as ruler, why should Shechem be ruling, it's basically, he's almost saying anyone should be ruler over Avimelech. Avimelech is, you know, to a certain extent, he's just another one of the sons of Yerubal. That doesn't have any connection to the city of Shechem. That's from Menashe. It's from a different tribe. And if you want someone from the city of Shechem, it should be maybe someone historically who has a connection to the city of Shechem. It's fascinating that he makes that argument when the city of Shechem is a city of Jews. They may be idol worshipping Jews, but to echo it, to kind of bring it back to the era of Chamor and Shechem seems a little bit foreign, and it could be he's just trying to say that you shouldn't have a leader like Avimelech for sure. Why he's the one speaking up and not the actual Baalei Shechem, right? We had said that Hashem sent this sense of discord, this ruach hara between them, and they're betraying. So why aren't they giving the pump up speech? Apparently he's a very powerful figure, and he was sent by Hashem to guide them into their rebellion. Pasuk Chavtes, he continues his speech. Umi yitein es ha'am hazeh biyadi. If only someone would give the people over to me, va'asiras Avimelech, I'll be able to remove Avimelech. Meaning, if I had an army, if I had a force, I could remove Avimelech. Vayomer la'Avimelech. And he kind of said to Avimelech, not necessarily that they're talking, but he's saying it towards him. And according to Rashi, the Zvol, who was the general, was able to hear this, and he brings the word to Avimelech. But the message is, Rabbe Tzvoecha v'tze'e. Rabbe Tzvoecha, Rabbe like a lot, meaning get your group to be a lot, v'tze'e, and come out. Meaning, arm up and do battle against the people of Shechem, against the force that I, this Gal ben Eved, will lead. Pasuk Lamed. Vayishma Zvol Sar Ha'ir. So Zvol, who was the officer of the city, heard this as the Rei Gal ben Eved. Vayichapo, and he's extremely upset, because as was told to us by this Gal ben Eved, Zvol is a high officer for Avimelech, whether it's his general, some type of. Here he's described as Sar Ha'ir. He's the officer for the city of Shechem, which means that it's already a sign that inside of the city of Shechem, they're not in unison. There are still some people in the city of Shechem that are pro Avimelech. This Zvol is one of them. And presumably there might be more, which we'll actually make reference to. He gets extremely angry. He gets angry that there's a rebellion going against his ruler. Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vayishlach malachim al Avimelech bisorma lemor. If you read it too quickly, it sounds like he sent messengers to Avimelech in a place called Sarma. The Rashi says that the word Sarma is a variation of the word that we're more familiar with in Tanakh called Mirma. Mirma is trickery, stealthily, meaning in Seser. That's why the article translated as stealthily. Yeah, what translation do you have? That Vayishlach malachim al Avimelech bisorma lemor. Pasuk Lamed Aleph, 31. What do you have? 31. And Avimelech sent, and he sent messengers to Avimelech. Bisorma.
And Torma saying.
You have it as a place?
Torma, yes.
Ah, interesting. So Rashi takes the approach not to read it literally, but to, and you know, I guess the art scroll is going with that, but to do it secretly. And saying the following message, Hine Gal ben Eved ve'achav ba'im Shechem. Behold, Gal ben Eved and his brothers have come to Shechem. Now, we don't know, does that have any meaning? Does this individual named Gal, does that have any meaning to Avimelech? Or is it just, oh, by the way, there is someone, a stranger, who we don't know. Or was he a known entity? Was he a foreigner that was a known entity? V'hinam tsarim esair alecha. And behold, Sarim asair alecha. They're kind of fortifying the city alecha to go against you, meaning they're getting ready for some type of battle against you, Avimelech. Pasuk Lamed Beis. V'ata kum laila. You should get up now by night. Ata va'am asher itach. You and the people who are with you. Ve'erov basadeh. And you should set an ambush in the field. Almost, you know, it's interesting. Or maybe not interesting, there's a plan to everything. We had seen that Gidon's success against Midian came through ambush by night, came through doing things in a little bit more of a secret way, using that surprise attack. And so the even though Avimelech is the one who's involved, and he's one of the ones that needs to be punished, but the punishment coming for killing the sons of Gidon is also going to come about through a kind of ambush and stealth type of approach, that almost like Gidon acted for God in that way, and the punishment that his family deserves to kind of, you know, not save them because they're already been, but at least that their the crime against them will not go unpunished. It happens in a similar way. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Vahya baboker, and it will be in the morning. This is part of the plan. Kizrach Hashemach, when the sun rises, tashkim ufashata al ha'ir. You'll get up early and you'll spread yourself against the city. V'hine hu v'am asher ito yotzem elecha, and behold, he, meaning this Gal ben Eved, will come out with the people that are with him towards you. V'asita lo kasher timtze yadecha, you'll do to him whatever your hands allow, meaning I presume that you'll be victorious and you'll handle them however you want. This is the advice of Zvul, who was deaf. In this moment, he was Avimelech's eyes on the ground in terms of what is in Shechem. What's the threat? What's the threat level? What do they have? Right? We don't have the exact words per se. Maybe he provided him with a count of how many soldiers and things of that nature. Pasuk Lamed Dalet. Vayakam Avimelech v'chol ha'am asher imo laila. So Avimelech thinks this is a good idea. He gets up, and all the people are with him in the middle of the night. Vayervu al Shechem, and he lays an ambush against Shechem. Arba Rashim, four groups. Which is actually a little bit different. We had pointed out that when Gideon divided his small group into three, almost to surround them in a U shape and allow them to escape a certain path, and then eventually run after them. The idea of four is like a total surrounding. Surrounding Shechem on all four sides, because Avimelech is coming to totally end the people of Shechem, and that's symbolized by him dividing his men into four groups. Pasuk Lamed Hey, Vayetze Gal ben Eved. So Gal ben Eved goes out. Vayamod Pesach Shar Ha'ir, and he's standing by the gate. By the Pesach Shar Ha'ir, the opening of the gate of the city. Vayakam Avimelech va'am asher ito min ha'marav. So Avimelech gets up with the men that are with him from the ambush, and they're about to begin the attack. Pasuk Lamed Vav. Vayar Gal asa'am. So Gal, he sees the people. Vayomer el Zvul, and he calls out to Zvul. That's his adversary. He calls out to Zvul, so whether it's direct or some type of communication, Hine am yored me rashi aharim. Behold, people are descending from the mountains. Vayomer elav Zvul es tzel harim atarosh ro'eh kan Hashem. Zvul is somehow able to send the message back saying, it's the shade of the mountain that you're seeing that it looks like people. Meaning, in a sense, that he is downplaying the fact that any trouble is coming. Pasuk Lamed Zayin. Vayosef od Gal adaber. Gal continued to speak and to say. Vayomer, he said, Hine am yordim. There's a people coming. Me'im tabur ha'aretz, from the tabur ha'aretz, from the midst of the land. V'rosh echad ba miderech elon ma'onanim, and one group is coming up from the plain of ma'onanim. Pasuk Lamed Ches, Vayomer Elav Zvul. So Zvul says back to him, because it sounds like there's a sense of maybe this Gal losing his confidence and saying, oh, there's this group coming and it's coming from different directions. Vayomer Elav Zvul. Zvul says back to him, Aye Efo Ficha Asher Tomar. Where is your mouth that you spoke? Mi Avimelech Hina Avdenu. Who is Avimelech that we should lead, meaning that he should lead over us? Halo zeha am asher ma'astabo. Is this not the people that you rejected? Tseina atav yelachembo. So go out now and do war with them. Meaning you were Mr. Big Talker about being anti-Avimelech. Well, I hate to tell you something, but the battle is now about to happen, and you're going to fight Avimelech. Pasuk Lamites. Vayetze Gal efnei ba'alei Shechem. So Gal goes out with the inhabitants of Shechem. Vayelachem ba'Avimelech, and he does war. He does battle with Avimelech. And if we thought how it's going to end, this part, we would maybe not think that Avimelech would be successful anymore. Right? His time of rule is coming to a close, and yet he is successful. But in the back of our minds, we kind of know why he's successful. He's successful because of the curse of Yosam. And the curse of Yosam is that first the fire is going to go forth from Avimelech, and it's going to consume the people of Shechem. And then a fire will go forth from Shechem and consume Avimelech, and kind of happen in that order. And maybe you'd say that the people really are the ones deserving of the punishment first, Because even though Avimelech came to them with the idea, had they not empowered Avimelech by giving him the money and by giving him the confidence to go ahead and assassinate Gideon's sons, so Avimelech would have never done it on his own. He wouldn't have been he would not have been able to pull that off and to achieve such a thing. And so the who should be punished first? Maybe the catalyst for the murders of the sons of Gideon were the people of Shechem, and so they need to be dealt with first. Pasuk Mem, Vayirdefehu Avimelech. Avimelech chased after them. Vayonis mipanav. They run from him. Vayiplu chalalim rabim, and many corpses fell ad Pesach Hashar upon the entrance of the gate. Pasuk Mem Aleph. Vayeshav Avimelech baruma. Avimelech comes to he settled for a short time in a place called Arum. Vayigarish Zvul as Gal v'as Achav Mishavis Beshem. And Zvul, his second in command, his officer, who he said, kind of removed, drove out. Vayigarish, that's a language in the Torah for gerushin, for divorce, to get out. So Zvul takes care of getting out Gaal and his brothers from inhabiting Shechem. Does it mean that he killed them? Does it mean that he just made sure that they ran away? But they're gone. So the question becomes, for Avimelech, as in his capacity as ruler, what does he do with the people of Shechem? Clearly he's won the battle, and they don't have this Gaal anymore. We had heard in the Psukim that the people of Shechem had put some type of trust, some type of bitachon into Gaal. So the trust is no longer. But you are a leader named Avimelech, and you're leading solely based on your power, and people have led a rebellion against you. And you have the split screen of how David HaMelech dealt with rebellion, and it was his relatives, it was his own sons who dealt with the rebellion, who rebelled against him. Here you have the people of Shechem who were Avimelech's more distant relatives, and they rebelled against him, and the rebellion is over. But how do you deal with the war criminals? How do you deal with those who rebelled against you? Pasuk Mem Vayis, Vayimi Macharas Vayetze Ha'am Hasadah. It was the next day the people went out to the field. Vayagidu la'Avimelech, and they told to Avimelech. They told to Avimelech, the understanding is that there were certain people who were on the side of Avimelech from Shechem and certain people who weren't. And the telling of Avimelech is basically that there are still people in the city who are against you. And he reacts. Pasuk Mem Gimel. Vayikach Asa'am, so he takes the people. Vayichatzeim l'shlosha rashim, and he divides it into three. Vayirov basadeh, and he sets an ambush in the field. Vayar v'hinei ha'am yotzei min ha'ir. He saw that as the people who were understandably, how we understand, the people who were against him were leaving the city. Vayakam aleihem, he rose up against them. Vayakim, and he struck them. So Avimelech he's pushing forward, and he's continuing to not stop the rebellion. The rebellion's been stopped, but he's punishing those who rebelled against him. And to a certain extent, there's a concept of sending a message to the rest of the country, as we'll see, in a slightly more demonstrative way. Pasuk Mem Dalid. Vavimelech v'harashim asher imo, Avimelech and the groups of soldiers that were with him, pashtu v'yamdu pesach shar ha'ir, they spread out and they stood at the opening of the city. Ushnei harashim, and two of the groups, pashtu es kol al kol asher basada, they struck all those who were in the field, they extended and spread out against all those who were in the field, v'yakum, and they struck them. Pasuk mem hey, Vavimelech nilcham ba'ir, and Avimelech fought against the city of Shechem, kol hayomahu, all that day. Vayilkod asayir, he captured the city. Vesa'am asher baharag, the people that were in it he killed. Vayitotz asayir, vayitotz, a language of destruction, which we've seen before. He destroyed the city. Vayizareha melech, and he, vayizareha, a language of zriah, of salting, of sowing, planting melech, salt. Why is he doing that? He's almost making that the city of Shechem is not going to be livable anymore. It's not going to be livable, it's not going to have inhabitants. He's taking care of that. Vayito Tzir, he's also smashing the city. No one else is going to be able to come in and use the built city of Shechem. And not only that, something that we haven't necessarily seen in Tanakh as of yet, as far as I recall, is this concept of planting salt. By planting salt within the ground, it's basically creating an infertility in the land. That not only you're not going to be able to, no one's going to be in the city who lived there, who rebelled against me. No one's going to build the city. No one's going to even be able to use the grounds around the city. That this is, and this is a certain statement, perhaps, that Avimelech is trying to make in the sense that don't mess with me, because the people who mess with me, they will be dealt with like this. And you know, we know the end of the story, that Avimelech is not going to have a long rule. But Avimelech does not necessarily know that at the time. And so he chooses to maybe make that statement to what happens with the rebellion. And unfortunately, he's not done, in the sense that there are some remnants. And that when you have that sense of, maybe when you're leading from usurping the power and taking the power from yourself, so any negativity is not going to be able to be tolerated. And so any remnant of the rebellion is going to have to be dealt with. And Be'ez Hashem, next time, we'll continue that, and hopefully at least we'll get to turning the corner from this terrible era in the time period of the Shoftim.